What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. It is season 4, episode number 5, CubsCon 2025 recap. Don't forget to leave us one of those 5-star reviews. All right, Crowley, we've kind of talked about it. Now we're going to listen to a little bit of it. The chairman, the owner of our Cubs, Tom Ricketts, joined inside the clubhouse on Saturday to talk about Sosa, to talk about the budget, to talk about the All-Star game, talk about all kinds of things. Let's go through that, get your opinions, get my opinions, and let the podcast listeners a chance to hear it if they missed it.
Yeah, although there's no Ricketts family forum, you could meet Tom Ricketts at CubsCon and have a beer with them at Shula's. But yeah, if you wanted to get some really hard-hitting questions, you had to listen inside the clubhouse, and I thought Bruce and David and Ryan did a great job with that. I do want to preface this before we get started. I think I really like Tom Ricketts, the human being, the person. I think he's done a lot for this organization. The way that Wrigley Field, the way that they renovated it is beautiful. I think it's great. Brought a World Series that we weren't sure, Dustin, if you and I were going to live to see that. But I will tell you one thing, and I'm going to be honest here. I think Tom Ricketts needs a new PR person because I don't think the interview went off that well. And I feel like somebody has got to prep him a little bit better if he's going to sit there and talk about some of these things, because I just don't think it went well. And so we'll listen to a couple of these things.
I think there's some of it went well, some of it didn't go well. I mean, I do think he's being the reason I don't mind him, like if you say not getting prepped properly, let's say, is that I think it's raw. I think it's pretty raw, to be honest.
Maybe it is raw, but the danger of that and the reason people try to prep is so that it doesn't come off looking bad. Yeah. So here's what he had to say about Sammy's return.
You know, this is kind of something we inherited. We closed in 2009. First season was 2010. And there was this kind of estrangement between Sammy and the team. And, some of it was, it was all kind of a pre-existing condition for us. So we had to think about it. But it just occurred to me over time, like, you can't just come back and not say anything. You know, just let's all have... we all remember Sammy as a great player, but let's also let's just at least put something out so you can come back and then everyone can say, hey, it's all behind us. We're all looking forward. And I think Sammy did a nice job with that. And I'm just happy he's here, and I'm happy it's behind us, and I'm happy we're just looking forward.
Well, I think everybody can agree to that, Crowley. Everybody can agree that we're glad he's back. It's behind us. But, one of the things that stood out to me and maybe we're going to get to the cut, maybe we aren't. You run this kind of, you're in charge, Crowley, is when he talked about, he told them that he didn't have to apologize. No. I almost guarantee you've been at CubsCon. He said that he needed an apology. So which one is it?
Not only that, Dustin, the thing that from that cut that rings out to me is that we inherited it. It was a pre-existing condition. What? You inherited nothing.
He's never said that before. All these times it's been brought up, and to the point that he would roll his eyes when people would bring it up at CubsCon, right?
Right.
He'd roll his eye. He never said the previous people.
The precondition, the pre-existing condition, inherited, none of that stuff was ever brought up. And to me, it was, I'm just sitting there, and when I first heard it, I was doing like, well, you made this, like you died on this hill. This is what you were going for. You dug your heels in, and guess what? Sammy's the one that finally put the statement out. You got what you wanted. But to pretend like it wasn't that big of a deal or you didn't care all that much, oh, he just had to say something. No, it was pretty clearly implied that this had to do with apologizing for PEDs, which if Sammy did, he would have been in trouble for lying to Congress. So I would say more than anything, it's just kind of like, why are you telling the fans that? Because Sammy should have been brought back in 2010, 2011, that time frame when the team was rebuilding and lost 100 games two seasons in a row and upper 90s a couple of years. Why didn't you do it then? He could have been part of the 2014 celebration. He could have been part of the 2016 run. He could have been there for Ernie Banks' funeral, all that stuff. So don't say like it was like we inherited this. You chose to do it. Own up to it, man. That's all I got to say on that. Now, the question brought up on Inside the Clubhouse is, did the statement go far enough?
He did fine, and that statement is fine. Like, I mean, it's good. Like, I never asked him to apologize or any of that. I just said,
yes, you did.
There's just got to be some acknowledgement of why people are a little bit suspect of some of the numbers from the people from the players in that era. Just acknowledge it, and let's move forward. And that's basically what he did. And I give Sammy a lot of credit. And obviously he's really supercharged this weekend here, and hopefully we'll see him around Wrigley a lot more often.
Wow. So
yes, you did. That's the cut I was just talking about. Yes, you did ask him to apologize. Yes, you did, Tom.
And here's the thing, Dustin, is that why couldn't you in 2009, 2010, make a phone call, get an intermediary, there's go-betweens, and just say, look, Sammy would like you to have it back. Again, we've talked about the statement. We've talked about the statement. It is literally, I wouldn't accept that apology from my child. Okay? That was about not saying that, you know, it wasn't anything specific. It was about as generic. I did some things wrong in the past. I tried to stay on the field every day, yada, da, yada, da. But that was what we were waiting all these years for, 14 years, 15 years for. That's what we were waiting for. You couldn't have sat there and had Sammy come in and say, Sammy, we want you back in the Cubs organization. We just feel it's really important we address a couple things. You could have put out that exact same statement 15 years ago, and none of this drama would have been part of it. That's just
none of it. Zero. None of it. Yeah, I just don't understand it. It's silly. It's almost insulting. It's so silly.
Now here's the thing, Dustin. The question is what was Sammy apologizing for? I think it was, you had to read between the lines when you got the apology, and then he was asked about it this weekend. And here's what Sammy had to say about what he was apologizing for.
21 year, buddy. You know what I mean? Look, 21 years haven't been here. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, look, I mean, when you're growing up and you pretty much find the Lord, because I did, and you see things now differently. Before, it was hard for me, you know, to do that. But now, you know, I did it with, you know, I mean, with happiness. I mean, I did it because, you know, look, when I grew up, I mean, when I was playing, you know, I play great every day. I maybe hurt some people that I don't even know about it. So that's why, I say my statements. And I think it was, you know, fantastic. I mean, let's say 90% of the fan was very happy. 10%, you know, like always, is going to be say whatever they want. And hey, so be.
But were you apologizing for something specific, for the way you played the game or for the way that you hit the home runs? Were you apologizing for anything specific?
Like I say, I was 21 years out, you know, without coming here to Chicago. And believe me, my friend, they love me, they support me. And definitely, you know, that's one of the reasons why I did.
So there was no real answer there. And again, people said that he apologized for not for being gone from the fans 21 years. I didn't hear that specifically, at least in that cut. Maybe it's on a different show, maybe a different interview. I don't know. But
we also talked about finding God.
I've actually talked
religion.
I've heard Sammy talk about that very much.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's the first time I've heard that.
He has regrets about the past, about some of his behaviors, about some of his actions. And religion is a very important thing to him. He has told us when he was at Club 400 that he found God, he's found the Lord. So that is something I heard back in September when we had Sammy out. So it's not anything that was for this weekend. He's very sincere about it. So I'm glad this is just over with. And now we need to look forward on the future. And so the question, Tom, was asked about the goals of getting the playoff versus the World Series.
It's really one and the same. Like the fact is, obviously, the goal is to win the World Series. That's everybody's goal. That's easy to say. But ultimately, the way you're going to win the World Series is to make the playoffs as often as possible. I mean, in the NBA or the NFL, the better team almost always wins in a playoff series. In baseball, if you just keep making it to the playoffs, you got a shot. And, like, the fact is that you look at some years, like last year, Yankees-Dodgers. Well, okay, maybe the best teams won. 2 years ago, it was Rangers-Diamondbacks. And in the end, like, it's kind of like get to the playoffs and who's healthy, who's hot, who's got the bullpen all figured out for those next couple weeks. That's going to decide who wins the World Series. So our goal is to be consistent and always have a team that we think can win our division. And, you know, as opposed to like, you know, we've gone through some kind of boom and bust cycles. I mean, we had to in, you know, 11 and 12. Unfortunately, we put ourselves in that position in 21 and 22. Hopefully going forward, we don't have that anymore. And we can just be consistent. And that requires, you know, discipline on who you sign and thinking about your team makeup. It requires that you draft well and develop well. And it just requires that you always have that balance. And so, and I think Jed's doing a really good job of doing that.
I mean, he's not wrong in what he's saying there, but just keep it. He's right. Like, not the best team doesn't always win the World Series. Okay. There can be other teams that just get hot. Any Cub fan remembers the Marlins were not the best team in baseball when they won the World Series, but they beat the Cubs and the Yankees, who I think were better teams that year. But statistically speaking, the best teams win a lot more often than the teams that had kind of lesser records. And I just feel like, okay, what did you put yourself in the best position to win the World Series? We'll talk a little bit more about this later, Dustin. I don't think there's anyone that doubts that the Yankees, the Mets, and the Dodgers have done everything possible to put themselves in a position to win the World Series. Can you say the Cubs in the same way have done that?
No,
it's clearly not.
Unfortunately, you know, I mean, it hurts to say that, but I can't say that. No, I cannot say that.
So there we are. And so Tom was asked about Jed. This is Jed's final year in his contract. Here's Tom on that.
Well, I mean, I think for the team, the goal is always the same, right? We want to have a team that should win our division and should compete in the playoffs and hopefully win the World Series. With respect to Jed, I think he's just doing what he would do any other year, honestly. Like, I mean, he's not the kind of guy that's going to make a decision that hurts the team in the long run, regardless of his contract status. And he's got that kind of character, and I trust him completely.
I thought that was a pretty good endorsement. Doesn't seem like he's too upset about it, but we'll see what happens.
And I mean, I understand that. I understand why they're not rushing to give him an extension right now. I get that.
No. Now, Dustin, these last two clips that we got coming up here, to me, were really, really just bad. Sounds bad. And so here's the first one on not getting credit for the ballpark renovations.
Oh, I don't know. I think that when I walk around the ballpark and I talk to fans, they appreciate it. Maybe the media does it. Maybe I don't get the, you know, credit in the press or whatever. Maybe the broader market doesn't think about it. But I think people that come to games and see the ballpark and see the neighborhood appreciate it.
Whoever said they didn't appreciate it?
Well, can we replay it one more time? I want to make sure that that's what he said. I think this is important. Let's listen to it one more time and talk about it. One more time.
My understanding is he said the fans appreciate it, but the general media doesn't. Here we go.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that when I walk around the ballpark and I talk to fans, they appreciate it. Maybe the media doesn't. Maybe I don't get the credit in the press or whatever. Maybe the broader market doesn't think about it. But I think people that come to games and see the ballpark and see the neighborhood appreciate it.
Here is something, and I think this is big picture, and I know you are laser focused on the Cubs, but what's going on with both the White Sox and the Bears, right?
Yeah,
they both want new stadiums. They want money from the city. They want money from the state. The Ricketts, they did not get money for Wrigley Field. I'm sure they got tax breaks and they got certain things. But wow, they rebuilt Wrigley. They saved Wrigley. They redid that neighborhood. Now, the next cut we're going to play, we can get into a little bit of that, but I think he deserves more credit. You and I goof around all the time, Crane Kenny talking about, you have any idea how much concrete costs, right? I always goof around about that. But they have to get some credit for reinvigorating that stadium and that neighborhood. Crawley, you're there more than I am, but I remember sitting and looking up, and they had basically fishnets underneath the concrete because it was falling apart. It was crumbling. They didn't want people to get concrete hit in the head from the crumbling Wrigley Field. So, I mean, we have to give the Ricketts some credit for that. We do, don't we?
100%. And again, they got federal landmark designation. And then you just saw the Winter Classic. Maybe that clip was meant.
I heard Tom talk about concerts and hockey and things like that during this interview. Now my question is, where does the hockey and concert money go? Is that part of baseball? That's something I still want to, I would like a crystal clear answer on that. Does money from the concerts go to baseball?
Well, let's play this last cut, because this is the money cut, no pun intended.
Baseball, the business model in baseball, it's worked pretty well for a long time, but there's a few things right now that just are a little out of kilter. Obviously, the Dodgers have a lot more resources naturally from smart business moves they made years ago, and so I don't begrudge them any of that. Some teams just have outside resources that are funding their player moves and acquisitions, and that's really hard to compete with. And I understand when fans say, how come you don't spend like that? Because they think somehow we have all these dollars that the Dodgers have or the Mets have or the Yankees have, then we just keep it, which isn't true at all. What happens is we try to break even every year, and that's about it. And so I think that there's one problem, that I think there's a competitive balance issue that gets created. But the other problem is I don't think fans should spend all their time thinking about which team has more money or how much they're spending. We should talk about players and who we draft and who we're developing. And I just think it becomes a big narrative that's a distraction. So I think the model could get better. And then secondly, I think the other part of this is, and a little bit frustrating at times, is we've invested more in the team and the ballpark and the neighborhood than any other owner out of their pocket in baseball. We came out privately financing all the renovations at Wrigley, everything we do around Wrigley Field, roughly $1 billion. And no one has that kind of financial commitment to their team. And so so when I have a fan come up and say, hey, you're cheap, or open your wallet or something like that, I just think they're just misinformed. And it's just the wrong way to look at our ownership.
So there's a lot.
He said a billion. Yep. He said they invested $1 billion into the neighborhood.
Right.
Right. Right. Now, again, also something else to consider. And I think from a business standpoint, so they invested into the neighborhood. So should that money be going back to baseball? Or, he had I don't think he had $1 billion sitting around. Right. They borrowed, and didn't they bring in, they brought in private investors, right?
Right.
Right. So those private investors have to be repaid and have to get a dividend and a bump for what they did. Listen, I'm not Joe Math. OK, I'm public school educated. I went to 5 schools in 5 years. I work in sports talk radio. But just on the if I were financially advising Tom Ricketts, I'd be doing it exactly the same way from a financial standpoint. That doesn't mean I have to like it as a fan. I don't. But here's my biggest take. My biggest issue with Crowley, what we just heard there personally, is don't tell me what I should think about your team and my favorite baseball team. Don't tell me I should worry about the prospects. I should worry about the Cardinals. I should worry about the Reds. I should dive into Dansby Swanson's numbers. I should look at Kyle Tucker's numbers and get excited for that. But I'm not allowed to think that we didn't need the song and dance arguing over $1.5 million. Please spare me telling me what I can and cannot or should and should not think about my favorite baseball team. Spare me.
And again, in the offseason, when you're sitting there and you're watching teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets spending, and you're looking and you're not doing that, it's going to raise questions. And
I get it. Their TV deal is something that's not, I mean, it's everything the Cubs hope marquee would have been, but it's just not what listen, the Dodgers couldn't get that TV deal now. They got it at a certain time. That TV deal will never happen again. Okay. The Mets have a guy that this is his toy. The Cubs are not Tom Ricketts family's toy. They have other interests. They have other income. But much like the Bears, that's their family business. So this is not a toy.
So, Dustin, let me just put it this way. Every time the Cubs have wanted to do something, we've been talking about additional revenue streams. Whether you're talking about marquee, whether you're talking about electronic scoreboards, whether you're talking about advertisements, all along.
Whether we're talking about that new swag you're wearing.
New swag I'm wearing. Dustin, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, they only played day baseball games.
Only day baseball.
For most of our lives, Wrigley was open from April, and then usually it would shut down at the end of September. You look at Wrigley now, and it is a year-round venue. There are events constantly happening. Now, nobody told the Ricketts to build a hotel. That was on them, right? Nobody told them to do some of these things. And so I'm just saying right now, like you asked before, if you have a concert, how much of that money goes into what? Beer sales. So owners don't open the books. They say, trust us.
Right.
I mean, is that where you are? You open the books and you show me, and I have my own accountant look through it and say, like, yeah, they're barely breaking even. Oh, man, then I'll be the first to stand in line and apologize next time he does a meet and greet. Okay? But until then, there's going to, when you're paying $14 for a Bud Light, when a beer bat, a plastic bat, cost you $35, Dustin, and when I see that place packed, and the amount of people buying beers and concessions and shirts and everything, and I'm as guilty as it is.
Well, I'm gonna say we're the people listening to this podcast. We are part of the problem. We are the problem. That's why they're able to continue to do this. The only way to get that to stop is to not go and to not participate.
But then, Dustin, that's fine. But don't tell me that they're not making any money. Don't tell me that's the part that bothers
me. Don't insult. You're insulting, you know, it's like the Godfather. You're insulting my intelligence.
All I see right now is every time I go to Wrigley, that cash register is ringing no matter where I'm going. So I just find it hard to see. Now you tell me the A's, you tell me the White Sox, and you see those pictures of 5,000 people in the park. 100%.
They go to play the Nationals in September. There's literally, you could count the people in that place.
Right. So don't tell me that you're in that same boat, because you're not.